Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Now, if you'd stand with me, we're going to pray. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this people that you have sent here today. Open hearts so that they will hear your message. Lord, bless Pastor John as he gives the word today. Watch over him and help him to just be so sensitive to all the words that you want him to speak to us, that word that you have given to his heart and that he will share with us. And Lord, let it just become so much a part of us that when we walk out that door, we share you. Our countenance is changed and we are able to touch hearts for you in love. You know, Lord, thank you that we can be fisher of men, but we don't have to clean up anybody. You do that. So thank you, Father. Thank you for who you are, for what you're doing in our lives, and for unity. And Lord, that's the one thing that we see a lot here, is there's unity and there's love. And Father, you are just able to help us become that which you have ordained us to be, and that we can walk in your favor, we can walk in your blessings, and all we have to do is turn to you and have that relationship with your word. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back into worship.
This is a song that the Lord gave me a couple years ago, and it really boils down to our walk every day, every step that we take. We need to trust God. We need to just put our lives into His hands. We need to learn how to rest in Him. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about sleep. Although that's good too. I like that too. But no, just to learn to rest and just to put your lives in His hands and say, Father, here I am. Take me, work these things out in my life. I trust you with everything that I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hello, family.
Hello.
I want to testify to God's goodness this week. In the last couple weeks, there's been a lot of swirl and a lot of just feeling of, oh, I feel grumpy, and and then I was praying this, Lord, change me on the inside. Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord Jesus. I trust you, Lord Jesus, to walk this out no matter. It feels so ugly and just towards my coworkers. And I said, Holy Spirit, I give you the lead, and you just take the lead and have your way. And when I went to talk to my coworkers, it was like, I said, Holy Spirit, go and have your way. And when I walked up and responded to them, it was such beautiful loving kindness that inside of me, I was just like, oh my gosh, is that really even me responding? I was like, Lord, you're so beautiful. And so I just want to attest to His goodness that no matter what your weeks or days or whatever they look like and the swirl all around you, man, trust in God, turn inwards, ask Him to help you. And like all these songs saying, and man, and then the loving kindness broke through to my coworkers, like where, you know, they just responded and where maybe they're hurting so much in their own situations and we don't even realize it. And they were, the loving kindness that flowed through touched them, and there was such beautiful breakthrough, and it was just so beautiful. And so I just want to encourage all you guys, trust God. It's so beautiful, even when you don't feel it. It's so bomb.
Tell you that's living testimony for you, for me. That is living testimony. Because in my experience, I went through different foster homes, and so I always wanted to try to control things, you know? And there was a point where I just, you have no control. You have no control. And when you surrender and you trust, there was a time I was mad. You know, where were you? Where were you? And that's when I knew He was guiding me all along. I was in the right place at the right time. He got me here for such a time as this. He raised me. God, my Father, raised me through the different homes, through the different places. And I remember different songs that I would just trust in Him. And He has such a good plan for us. When we surrender and we submit and we follow His plan and stop trying to do it ourselves, stop fighting a fight that's already been won.
You know, when we prepare our sermons, like today, I don't coordinate with the worship team to what songs they should play. That's between them and God. I got my part. I just give the word. But they bring the music. They bring the worship. And this song, this last song, really let me know that God's speaking through me, because that's what my sermon's about today. The title is Finding Rest. And where do we find rest other than when we trust? Other than in Jesus, right?
Yes.
And so, just as we go into this sermon, just to know that God's got a word for you. And we will find rest together with Him. Thank you, worship team. So, did you all get a good night's rest last night?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we all go for, right? Regardless of what we do every day, we all look forward to that time when we can finally have the end of our day come along and be able to rest our bodies, get ready to do it again next time. And I know a lot of us, you know, we have daily jobs, you know, still maybe Monday through Friday jobs. Some of us old codgers are retired, but we still have things that we need to do, things that keep us busy, things that does tire our bodies. And so at the end of the day, we finally come to a time where we can lay down and put our bodies to rest, right? And hopefully close our eyes and hopefully go to sleep. And I use the word hopefully because even though our bodies may be laying in bed and getting the rest that we feel is necessary, still sometimes our minds are going crazy, right? We're trying to rest, but yet we can't. Thinking of things that are coming up tomorrow, maybe family issues that need to be taken care of, maybe somebody in your circle of friends that you've been wanting to settle something, you know, with your lives, or something that maybe they said something and you weren't happy. It's been bothering you. So we wind up just kind of letting ourselves be so preoccupied with things that are, I hate to say it, sometimes even meaningless. And so those things that take up our time, those things that get us to where we can't get that rest, are the things that we're going to be talking about today. And so if you would just bow your heads or look what we're going to pray before I get started. And Father God, I just thank You for this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the reassurance of Your message this day, Lord. Thank You that we can find rest in You. Lord, I ask that the words that come forth from my mouth, Lord, are words that have been placed in my heart from Your heart. I thank You, Lord, that I thank You that we are here, Lord, to know You more, Lord, to draw from You, Lord, those things that You've just laid out for us, Lord. that you want to meet us, Lord, where we are to take care of us. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. Amen.
Amen.
So, here's a Bible 101 question for you. How many days did it take God to create the world?
Seven.
Well, how many said seven?
I did.
I did. Okay. Well, it was six, right? So it took 6 days, and so then it says here that on the seventh day that God rested, right? So 6 days to create, and the seventh day he rested. So was God tired? God wasn't tired, right? We know that God never tires. You know, we may get tired, but he doesn't get tired. So we've all worked on different projects, right? We do things at home, or like I said again, we have things that that we may be doing at home or at work or something. But sometimes it takes steps to get to where you finally can say, it's done. It's complete. And so there are things that each step, and like in this case, it took 6 days, but every day God got closer to that final step that he could say that he was done. So I want to go to the first one I want to go to is Genesis 2, and just read 1 through 3. And it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all the vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because in it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So knowing that God doesn't get tired, Why did he need to rest? What did it really mean for him to rest? And so what gives me the picture of what he's doing is, imagine like an artist that's painting a picture, and he's been working on it for, in this case, 6 days. And we don't know if 6 days was 20, each day was 24-hour periods or 24,000 years. Who knows exactly what those 6 days represent, right? But, you know, every day he did something that was going towards his perfect world, right? And so imagine an artist. This is somebody here on this earth, and he's been painting, and then he steps back after a while and he looks at what he has painted, and he admires it. He sees perfection. Everything he's done is complete. It's a perfect masterpiece, right? And so, not even a need for one more dab of paint. One more dab of paint might ruin that masterpiece. But he just looks at it, admires, and he says, yeah, this is what I needed. And God declared, he says that as he goes through his creation, he says, and it was good. And when God says something's good, there ain't no maybes, right?
That's it.
It's good.
Amen.
Even when he created Adam and Eve, he said that it was good. Amen. That means you guys, right?
Yep.
You are good. You were perfectly created.
Amen.
And so whatever God does, he doesn't just say, okay, let's see if this works. There's a plan. There's a purpose. There's a specific thing. You notice throughout the rest of the word that different scriptures will tell you where he gave Moses certain direction as to how he should do things. And it went step by step. And, you know, And you know, Moses didn't do it the second time as he should have. Look what happened to him, right? So it's very important for us to follow directions when God gives us those directions. And he's precise, you know. He told Noah measurements for the ark. He told him how to, everything he does is like, do it this way. So we really have to be listening to what he's saying to us. And something as simple as speaking to a rock or beating the rock made a big difference, right? And so it's important that we think of those things. So whenever God looked back and sees this picture, it was a perfect picture. It was a perfect creation. There was no more to be done. He had completed it. So let's go to John 19. And just reading 28 and 30. And the word says that later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word says that God sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save it. But before Jesus could declare finished, he went through certain steps. Prophecies to fulfill. He faced temptation in the wilderness, agony in the garden, rejection, mocking, and torture. Finally, he paid the ultimate price. He gave up his life so that ours could be saved. He could now rest and sit at the right hand of the Father. So what does "it is finished" mean to you and me? It means there is no more to be done. No more to be done by you and me. Jesus did it all. Everything that would ever come against us, everything that could ever keep us from resting, he's given us an answer. He's given us himself. It is by his righteousness that we can boldly come before the throne of the Father. Not only did he make a way to the Father, but he also showed us how we could live life here on this earth, until it was that time to go to the Father. And the word says that if we seek him first, that all other things will fall into place. Sometimes we wind up worrying ourselves about, as I mentioned earlier, different things in our lives, different things that sometimes we have no control over. And yet, he's already told us how to approach those things. He says, seek him, seek his kingdom, and all else comes into place. And so that's something I think that we miss sometimes. We want to handle things ourselves. And I don't think we do too good of a job at that. If we seek him and his kingdom, all else falls into place. Trying to handle things without God just doesn't work. We can rest from our inadequate efforts and accept his grace and power to see us through. We seek him first. Not your pastor, not your friend, not even Google. Don't we do that sometimes? Something's hitting our lives and somebody said that, you know, something, some sickness or whatever, and right away we got to go to Google and find out how that affects everybody. And that's, those are places that we should stay away from. You seek Him first. Go to God. Go to God and ask Him. Seek Jesus. Go after Jesus. He's there waiting for us to approach Him and talk to Him. So, what does bring unrest into our lives? And I said earlier, concerns about family, finances, health, our job, our relationships. All those things are things that we need to bring to Jesus. Those are whatever it is that is part of what is hindering our walk, they're meant to be brought to Jesus. So let's go to Philippians 4, starting with verse 4. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, this scripture tells us not to be anxious about anything. And as impossible as it may seem, we are not to worry. So, what about when we are getting worried? Things are starting to get to us. Unrest is coming to us. And I think all of us have faced that as maturing Christianity as we are. Things hit our lives sometimes that, you know, kind of bring us to a point that we're not at ease. We are at unrest. So what about if you take those worries and you turn them into prayers? All those things that are coming up against us, what if you just stopped and instead of listening to all those negative voices, what if you just stopped and said, Lord, I'm lost. Turn it into a prayer. Reach out to Jesus, whatever that may be. He's there waiting to hear you call out to Him. But no, maybe I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. That's a lot of our things. Sometimes we don't even think about it. We don't even think that that could be as important as just a simple stopping, just stopping and praying. It says rejoice, not in what you're going through. The diagnosis of a disease, the loss of someone we love, or a shattered relationship would not be something that I would jump for joy for. There are things that hit our lives that are not pleasant. There are things that hit our lives that that are heavy on our hearts. And so you don't rejoice in the circumstance. The word says the Lord is near. It's reminding you that He's there. So it's not so much that you're going through that you're supposed to be rejoicing in. You're rejoicing that you know you're not going to stay there. That He's with you. He says He is near. How much nearer can He be than here? He's within us. He's guiding us. And so we can rejoice because He is with us. And there's nothing too big for Him. I think we've all I would almost imagine that for the majority of us, we've gone through things in our life that we couldn't see the end because of where we were. And as we look back, he was there. He's always there. It's just, are we giving him that place to take us through what we're going through? So he's the one that will give us the peace. It says that he gives us peace. And it transcends our understanding. Sometimes you're going, maybe you even feel guilt about why you're feeling like everything's okay. This is a bad thing, right? But yet, I'm okay because I know God's there. And sometimes people don't understand why you still smile and you're still joyful when you're going through such a bad place, when you are in such a bad place in your life. But that's who we're supposed to be. And when you read scriptures like this, you know, it sometimes makes you think, rejoice? But knowing who he is in your life should bring joy. We should be able to find joy in all situations. He's always with us, never leaves us, never forsakes us. So let's go to Mark 4, starting with verse 35. And this scripture really, really like the scripture. It really speaks a lot to me personally. But I'll read it here. And says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind. So already, you know, you can tell that Jesus has been ministering somewhere, trying to get away from the crowd, right? Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. So it makes you wonder, how was he? Just as he was. I would imagine after ministering to a big crowd, he was tired. He was probably a little drained. And we think, hey, that was God. He never tires. No, Jesus was also a man, and he did tire. It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Cool, huh? It says, the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. In the first verse, Jesus tells them, let us go to the other side. And the word us, right? He's speaking to his disciples. And the word us includes him. He's already made the statement, that's where we're going. He didn't say, what might you hit before you get there, right? But he did say, that's where we're going. Let us get to the other side. It's a reassurance, I would say, as we would take it for today, that that's a word for us today. Wherever we are in the middle of, he's going to take us to the other side. And we are not to fear in a storm. Not only because he is with us, but also that he gave us the authority. He gave us authority to speak to the storms in our lives. And we can tell those storms to be still. These disciples, these guys that were in the boat with him, you really think about it, these guys were sailors, right? They should have known everything to do with that boat, with that storm. Surely that wasn't their first, I would say rodeo, but it wasn't a rodeo, their first storm. I'm sure they'd been to some things before, but instead they're going looking for somebody to save them in this place. And so with Jesus, you know, he was there, he spoke to the storm, but we can do the same thing. He's given us that place. Then, if you go next to the following verse, which is 5:1, and you don't have to have it there, but then it tells us that they went across the lake. They finally got there, which is what he had said to begin with. Let us go to the other side. They made it through the other side. But in between, you know, they had their issues, right? They had things that, storms that hit them and so forth. But they didn't lose out because they leaned on him. They called out to Jesus. They called out to him and says, you know, what do we do? That should be our state of mind always whenever we're in the middle of something. Call out. And guess what? He's going to be right there. He's going to remind you of those, the words that he gave you, that you can speak to these things that are coming against you. A storm, a mountain that's in front of you. It says that we can move mountains, right? That sounds like a big order, but guess what? If you believe one word of this Bible, you better believe the rest of it. And so whatever he said that we can do, we can do. If you have faith, and that's what he talks about. Do you not have faith, he says. You know, you not have faith that we can get through this thing. And so you will get past the storm. I don't know what storms we're going through, and I don't know why God gave me this message today, but I'm sure there are some of us here that are in the middle of a storm and just wanting to see God shine through it and see what he's going to do for you. I'm going to go to James 1 and just verse 2 and 3 for now. Says, James 1, 2 and 4 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm going to share a personal story that in my life. And it had to do when I was in my early 20s. And I had a car accident. I drank a little too much. I wanted to drive a little too fast. And I wound up having an accident in my car, totaled my car. I broke my jaw, wound up being wired up for quite a while. I should do that again. But but got my wired jaw and my jaw wired. And so it was quite a few months that I had to, you know, walk around with that. Couldn't munch on no tacos for a while. But anyway, so wound up in the hospital for quite a few days. I lost my driver's license for a year. What else happened? I had to move close to my job so that I could walk to work because I didn't have a car or a license. So all that came about. And that, you know, I couldn't drive for about a year. And so you look at all that, and it was a very traumatic time in my life. And I use that because, for me, I mean, that was something that I'll never forget, you know. And I'm sure that, as you know, each one of you probably has some stories that might be worse than this, but in the same lines. We've all gone through things that aren't exactly fun to go through. But the reason I brought it up is that that time of my life was not, as it says here, pure joy. Consider it pure joy, it says, and it wasn't. Pure joy seemed far, far, far away from me at that time. But the circumstance doesn't bring joy, as I mentioned earlier, is that God is with you through it, all does. And yet, as I said, that there's testing in there, and God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but he will provide a way to walk you through it. He will provide a way. Even though through that time, I'll be honest with you, God wasn't like on the top of my priority list on my routines. But I always prayed. You know, I've always, since I was a kid, I knew who he was. I always prayed to him. So he's been, I wouldn't be standing here today if he wasn't, wouldn't have been there for me then. But he was thought, we'll go through stuff such as that, but he always gives us a way to go through it, gives us a way to endure those things that we go through. Amen. So let's go to, still on James, but we're going to go down to verse 13, still on 1. And we're going to read 13 through 15. It says, When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So, not all, but many of the trials we face are brought on by ourselves, not God. How we walk through them is the test. God didn't tell me to drink and drive. It was my choice. It was me that brought a major storm upon myself, and it was me that brought unrest into so many areas of my life. And a lot of times we kind of get happy that we're going through testing and all that. And yeah, it's a good thing, because out of that we go through, we will grow. We will be stronger. There's no doubt that those things that we walk through are things to make us stronger. But at the same time, it's like some of the things that we walk through, we never had to walk through them if we would have not gone to that place. We make choices, sometimes bad choices. And it's not God that's taking us to say yes to this. It's us. Like it says here, our desires, our flesh are the ones that are saying, hey, let's go party. Let's step that car up to 100. See if it goes 105, you know. Yeah, we do things, you know. Of course, when you're young and in your 20s, you're smart. Nobody can tell you different. Right? Let's go on with verse 16. It says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." And so, even as I shared my story, and even as those things turned out that weren't exactly pleasant, even then, I couldn't see what God was doing and why I was where I was. But I can now. As terrible as the time is, it could be worse, right? My accident could have made me paralyzed, could have taken my life. It wasn't just a little fender bender. This was big time. But God had some plans for me yet. He had things for me to do. There were still good and perfect gifts that he had set for me, awaiting for me. Today I see that. My wife, my daughters, my grandkids, and even you guys. Woo! Amen. No, there is always... If we make him be a part of who we are, he has good things for us. He has good and perfect gifts. He doesn't have any bad stuff for us. All these things that we're talking about here, sicknesses, diseases, car accidents, whatever it is, that's not his plan for us. That's not what he wants for our lives. And yet, you know, all of us are going to wind up going through this because of our choices, because of allowing our flesh to dictate what we want. So now let's go to 1 Timothy 1:18. Okay, I'm going to read 18 and 19. It says, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and good conscience, which have some rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith." And we'll stop there. So I'm sure that all of us are aware of the importance of faith. We wouldn't be sitting in this building if faith wasn't in the forefront. We have chosen to believe that we serve a God that we've never seen, but we know is there. We chose to believe that there was a man sent by God to walk this earth, and now we worship him.
Amen.
We're asked to believe that God's Spirit is inside of us. Amen. How much faith would we need to believe that? There's a lot of people that think we're nuts, but... Yeah. Amen. We will continue to be a little nuts, but this is what we believe. And so faith is part of who we are and what is going to get us through our time here on this earth. So verse 19 links a good conscience to faith. It says faith and a good conscience. seems pretty important that they would put it in that same category. So we know that the enemy cannot touch our spirit. That's a holy place that the enemy cannot come in and mess with. That belongs to that guy up there. But if you can, but if the enemy can find just a small little crack in our mind, he can infiltrate our mind. He can get into those places that sometimes we don't even realize that we're having an effect, a negative effect, I should say, because of that. So as he affects our mind thoughts and so forth, he brings confusion, doubt, and unrest, which is what we're talking about today. Those are the things that he wants you to be in chaos. He wants the enemy, just as our Lord wants us to have life and more, life more abundant, to have peace and joy and whatever. The enemy is on the other side of things. Man, if I can just touch one little, you know, he knows your buttons, and your buttons are different than my buttons, and he can come and push a little button and get you just where he wants you. And that's what he's after. If he can disrupt your everyday life and put some stuff in there that now you're not where you were with that peace that transcends all your understanding, that's what he's after. He wants to have, he wants to bring thoughts that are ungodly in whatever area that may be. And it takes away from setting our minds on things above, right? Isn't the word tells us? Set our minds on things above. Things that truly matter. So, what is a good conscience? A good example of that was, okay, I prayed about this one, right? What I'm going to share with you next is, I had to ask God if I was going in the right direction here. But he said it was okay. A good example of showing a good conscience was set by Daffy Duck. I knew. And I said, Lord, this is what I'm supposed to share. Yeah. He said it was okay. But anyway, I like watching cartoons.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. How many like watching cartoons? Hey, look at that. There's a lot more crazier people here than I thought. I do. But I like the old ones, right? Bugs Bunny, yeah. Foghorn Leghorn, Daffy Duck,
Yosemite.
Roadrunner, there you go. So I like watching cartoons. And there was one cartoon where Daffy had to make a decision. And so they showed him there with a little devil duck, and we'll put him on the left. And an angel duck, we'll put him on the right. Anyway, so he had a devil duck on one shoulder and an angel duck on the other. And every time the one would speak, his demeanor would change. You know, he'd get all ugly and whatever, and then the angel would talk and he'd settle down, you know. It just reminds me of kind of what we do. You know, we hear these words back and forth, and he would listen to one, and his whole thing would change, right? Until the angel duck clobbered the devil duck. And which, when you think about it, isn't that what we should do? Whenever we start hearing all this negativity here, all these negative voices, we can clobber that guy. He's given us the authority to come against all those negative things that come around. And I know this is quite a way to present this, but now you'll never forget Daffy. Anytime you start hearing negativity, he says, I'm going to do what Daffy did. So the Holy Spirit is always communicating with our spirit. He speaks to us through our conscience. He guides us through right and wrong. And if we deliberately ignore the tugs, they're like little tugs, and he never gives us any more than we can handle, but he's always just tugging at us, showing us, don't go there, go here, go there. But it's our choice. If we ignore the tugs of the Spirit, not only may we get in trouble, but our hearts may become hardened. And our capacity to tell right from wrong becomes diminished. We can get so used to the things that we're doing that now they're not so bad. Yeah, I can handle that. Now God still loves me. And so yet at the same time, we wind up in getting in troubles because all this time he was trying to take us to where we would not be in trouble. So if you want to get that small little duck off your shoulders, that bad duck, stop supplying him with ammunition. Close the door to negativity. The Holy Spirit will always encourage you. He'll build you up, not tear you down. Yes. Matthew 11:28. I know you're already reading it, but I can't. Okay, 11, 28, and 30. And this is Jesus talking. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in your heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Rest isn't always about how tired we are physically. It isn't always about how tired we are mentally. It is even not always about the condition of our spirit. And yet, yes, it can be all the above. God promised that he would have abundance, that we could have abundance in our life, abundance in all the good and perfect gifts. We should have love. We should have joy. We should have peace. We should have good health, prosperity. And that prosperity is not always about money. We could prosper in so many things in our lives. Those are things that he's promised us. Strength. And most of all, his everlasting presence. That is the best gift that we could ever receive is him. These are there if we would just receive them. I think a lot of times we reject the things that are just waiting for us. It's like, I always think of looking at a banquet table, you know, or a refrigerator that's full of food, but we never open the door. There's a lot of good food in there. God supplied it, but we never take time to go open that door and take something that he's given us. He set out this banquet table, but we never reach out to that great food that he prepared for us. And that's our fault, right? Whatever it is that keeps us from taking those things that are God gave them to us. Every time we reject one of God's gifts, not good for us. So, Jesus sets an invitation. In this scripture, he sets an invitation to each of us that we would bring all of our burdens to him. He wants to take the weight from our shoulders and place them upon his. Can we trust him to do so? Will we trust him to do so? I've got one more little writing there that I asked Terry to put on the screen for me, if you would now, Terry. It's called Broken Dreams, or Broken Toys, I'm sorry. And if you'll read it, I'm going to read it along with that. And it says, as children bring their toys with tears for me to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then, instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back and cried, how can you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You never let go. You got stuff you're holding on to, guys? You got things that you truly haven't turned over to God? How's he going to do it for you if you don't let him have it? What I would like us to do right now, just where you are, just in quiet, just ask God, what are some of the things that you want to let him take? And when you do, know that you can't take it back. So just take a moment and just pray about it. Talk to God for a moment. Father God, we give you those things that are a burden, those things that are heavy on our shoulders, Lord. We give you our children, Lord. We give you our husbands, our wives, those things that are heavy, Lord, that sometimes we wonder, where are you, Lord? You're there. We give you our health. Those things are the hurts of our body, the areas, Lord, that we could use your touch. We give you our tomorrows, Lord. We have plans, Lord. What are your plans? We want to hear your plans. We give you people in our lives, those that we walk with, Lord, those that sometimes hurt our feelings, Help us to have your heart for them, Lord. They are your children also. Amen. Please stand with me right now. And as you get dismissed, I want to just speak a blessing over each one of you. And I know you know this scripture. So may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May he be gracious to you, show you his favor, and give you his peace. Amen. Go and have fun.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.